In 2009, President Barack Obama selected Monsanto executive Michael Taylor to be the nation's first food safety czar. In 2012, citizen Frederick Ravid collected 186,000 signatures on a petition at cyanon.org to force Taylor's removal. All those signatures lead us to ask, should the Monsanto Corporation be in control of the nation's food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 760th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Dover who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with our own Miss Idaho, Miss Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Good morning.
Well, folks, consider this. In 2009, President Barack Obama selected Monsanto executive Michael Taylor to be the nation's first food safety czar. In the last hour or two of 2010, Congress passed the Food Safety Modernization Act, which gave food safety czar Michael Taylor dictatorial powers over the nation's food supply. In a few days in 2012, citizen Frederick Ravid gathered 186,000 signatures on a petition at cyanon.org to remove Monsanto's Michael Taylor from office. Now, all those signatures on Frederick Ravid's cyanon.org petition lead us to ask some questions. Why does the United States need a food safety czar? Why did President Barack Obama select Monsanto executive Michael Taylor to be the nation's first food safety czar? Why did Congress grant Monsanto's Michael Taylor total and absolute dictatorial powers over the nation's food supply? What has food safety czar Michael Taylor been doing to make our food safe? Why did 186,000 people sign a petition at cyanon.org to have Monsanto's Michael Taylor be removed from his position as the nation's food safety czar? And finally, to me, what is the most important question of all, should the Monsanto Corporation be in control of the nation's food? That's where we're at today, and we have with us to help find some answers, Frederick Ravid. Frederick, welcome to the Food Chain Show.
Good morning, Michael, and I just have an update for you. We have 218,980 signatures as of this moment, and this has gone viral with stories in the Washington Post, and those stories have been repeated and posted all over the Internet, and we have just created a Facebook group. By the way, the name of the petition for those of us who are looking to sign this petition is Tell Obama to Cease FDA Ties to Monsanto. And we have also created a Facebook page, which allows people to comment, and it gives us a chance to update folks with new developments about the petition and various elements of our conversations with people and great ideas people are sharing on Facebook. And you can just look for the Facebook page, Tell Obama to Cease FDA Ties to Monsanto.
And that's at cyanon.org, right?
The petition is on cyanon.org. It's also linked on Facebook, which has probably produced over 95% via sharing of signers for the petition.
Well, you know, I was wondering how on earth this thing is going so ballistic, because when I first started talking to you early last week, you had 60,000 signatures. Now you have how many?
We have 218,900 plus at this moment.
So this thing is going completely ballistic, really fast.
Let me
ask you, what the heck, how did you get involved in this? I mean, you're a financial analyst, you manage people's money, you're a citizen in Atlanta, Georgia, and all of a sudden you're taking on the Monsanto Corporation. How did this come to be?
Well, let me just put it this way. I think that all of us share a really profound sense of frustration and concern, a very deep concern, that we're at a crossroads in our history as we start going in the direction of creating these biotechnology products and patents and all these other things that have to do with food, and the whole agricultural chain is being substantially reduced from literally thousands of different types of seeds and varieties to a very small number of seeds and varieties, which definitely speaks against food safety and the ability of nature to do its own work in its own terms.
Well, it's not only the seeds that are being reduced, Frederick, but, I mean, we also used to have millions of farmers.
Yes.
And now we're having fewer and fewer farmers. So there seems to be this great consolidation, and that's what has you concerned. Let me ask you this. Why on earth does the United States need a food safety czar?
Well, I think centralization is one of the things the government does. And to cite somebody who many of your listeners might not agree with but probably would agree with on this point, Glenn Beck has been talking about this, and he thinks that, you know, this idea might be a great thing, but usually government really messes things up. And he talks about it in really strong terms. So he's actually come out and strongly questioned Monsanto's role in food. And I just want to come back to the other point that you made about how I got involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who manages capital for people, who handles people's investments, has to look at the long term. You know, the normal way of talking, you know, when you talk to an investment person, they say, how long is your horizon? You talk about 5 years, 10 years, greater than 10 years. But really, we're talking about generations of time. And no culture of any significance has ever created plans for anything less than at least many generations. In fact, and that's really important. And when you look at the way money is managed, when you look at the way corporations conduct themselves, when you look at corporate governance and all the pieces of the puzzle, you realize that the system that we have right now is very short-term. It's very closely oriented to the quarterly profit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that won't work out in the long run.
So we think in quarters. China thinks in millenniums.
And we should think in millenniums. I know that the Iroquois always think about the seventh, all the way out to the seventh generation. It's a tremendously valuable model.
So there we are. And now, but let's go back to this question. As you are a financial analyst, I'm a journalist. Let's look at this question. Why on earth does the United States need a food safety czar? So, why?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that. I have to just question the idea that I question the notion. I think that the most interesting thing about the FDA is that the FDA was originally created to create to promote accurate labeling and the prevention of false claims. That goes back to the very beginning of the 20th century. And the FDA's function has been to make sure that people didn't lie about what was in food or lie about what was happening in order to make a buck. But somehow or another, the FDA has sort of fallen in the wrong kind of hands, or fallen into the wrong kinds of approach. And now we have the situation where the FDA is actually essentially penalizing people for trying to tell the truth about what's in food. And there's an enormous number of different initiatives that are taking place at FDA and USDA that are very contrary to the fundamental basic backbone elements of what makes food work, which is in essence diversity, disclosure, purity, and the elimination of tampering.
Mm-hmm. And so this food safety czar is now in a position at Food and Drug Administration to superintend the food safety of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And why did the administration turn to the Monsanto Corporation for its food safety czar?
Well, I'm not certain that I'd be able to answer that question, Michael.
But you can speculate.
I can speculate.
Go ahead, speculate away.
I would suspect that there's been substantial contributions to the campaign, the notion, you know, oftentimes governments look to outside parties who have developed centralized means to address different issues. And speaking diplomatically, I could say it could be that if Monsanto handled everything really wonderfully, that they'd be a great choice to help out. The problem is that there's been decades of very intense activity on the part of Monsanto, which has essentially been a foe to family-based agriculture according to enormous number of reports that cover things like court cases and different types of activities. And that really weakens the backbone of America, and it creates a situation where we are unable to predictably state that we've got a secure future.
So in the same time that First Lady Michelle Obama is planting an organic garden in the front lawn of the White House, President Obama is hiring Monsanto executive Michael Taylor to be the nation's food safety czar, which is kind of like, well, it's kind of like curious, I guess. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, food safety czar for the United States of America, Michael Taylor, and how many, like Frederick Revid, are determined to get rid of him. And now they're petitioning at signon.org to do just that. Right back. Please do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is the Food Chain Radio. I am talking today, and you are as well, with Frederick Revid, who is a citizen activist, I guess you might call him, in Atlanta, Georgia, who sat down one day and decided to put out a petition to get rid of Michael Taylor, the nation's first food safety czar. Back in 2009, President First Lady Michelle Obama planted a symbolic organic garden in the lawn of the White House and to show the nation where to go. But in the back room, President Barack Obama hired Michael Taylor, from the executive from Monsanto Corporation. So there's two different directions. Frederick, what do you say about that?
You know, I was thinking about this during the break, and I thought I'd just mention something called green painting, which is a practice that some corporations use to establish a notion that they have some kind of environmentally responsible approach and that they're taking a socially or environmentally response approach. And I think perhaps this is green painting. It's not necessarily the case that Mrs. Obama is not committed to food safety or to food quality. I know she actively pursues the matter, and she was in California this week promoting it in Los Angeles. But it is important for us to look behind the scenes, and I think you're right. I think that it's very clear that there's a let's say, an unholy alliance, which to me spells corruption in the FDA. And the petition, although we could remove Michael Taylor, it doesn't necessarily remove the influence of FDA and Monsanto, and that's really the gist of the petition. The idea is
you're actually going beyond Michael Taylor, then. You're going for Monsanto.
Well, we don't want to. What we want to do is we want to cease the FDA ties to Monsanto. That's the issue. And the idea of Monsanto is not actually the target. It's the entire biotech industry. Any company that's involved with biotech should not be a regulator. It's obvious that companies have the right to do what they want to do, and their shareholders have the necessity to see them do what they can do. But there are a range of other issues that need to be addressed, and certainly the matter of corruption is at the forefront of my mind as I look at this situation.
You know, in 2010, Congress, in the very last hours, I think it was like Christmas Eve, Congress passed the Food Safety Modernization Act of 2010. And this act gave FDA total and absolute dictatorial powers over the nation's food supply. the FDA can now confiscate anybody's food, and there is no recourse. You can't go to court. You can't do anything. You just, that's it. So why is it that we as the people hired Congress people to give it a federal agency whose job it was to prevent people from telling lies about watermelon total dictatorial power over our nation's food? What happened to us?
Well, I think we've gotten to the point where sound bites matter to people, and that's all they have because of the lack of perception and depth. And nuance is really what makes life interesting. It's, you know, the fact that a tree has so many branches pointing in all these different directions with leaves of all shapes and sizes, that's what makes life beautiful. And the reality is that when we think about our political system, what's happened is that the people who are elected have become more and more engaged in kind of a soundbite form of governing, where centralization and quick, easy answers that can be capsulized in one sentence have become the rule of the day. Frankly, I think it's contrary to the characteristics of nature, which is absolutely prolific with variety and differences and diversity. And I think that our food and our food safety question really needs to range around those principles rather than to be totally bound up in this idea of some kind of a quick, easily digestible, one-stop, quick solution that somehow solves everybody's problem.
Well, was our food not safe? I know we had some problems with some spinach and some peanut butter and some eggs and some pork and some beef. And, you know, but all of these things that seem to give us so much trouble were always the, you know, the consequence of these large-scale industrialized production facilities that just got so big they couldn't control things. But yet, that does not seem to be what Michael Taylor, and as the food safety czar, is going after. He seems to be going after the family-scale producers. And if you follow the news at all, like I do very intently, what you see is SWAT teams busting farmers for selling milk to their neighbors. You see buying clubs in Santa Monica getting raided and shut down by jackbooted SWAT teams and with automatic weapons. You see the forcing of organic farmers to sterilize their almonds, thus forcing consumers to go, you know, to buy their organic almonds from China, I guess. You see the FDA not allowing Blue Diamond to say their walnuts are heart healthy, while at the same time allowing Frito-Lay to say that their Lay's potato chips are heart healthy. You know, so you kind of scrunch your eyes and you look from a distance and to see what's happening, and it does not appear to me that what's happening is that the government is... It seems to me like they're using the Food Safety Modernization Act to prosecute the family farm.
Well, you know, that's I can't stress how important organics are. And I think that anybody who's looked at the science and looked at the long-term issues understands the reason why organics are important. And it's not just because they have a nicer appearance or that, you know, people feel better about them when they eat them. Organics are produced in a manner which allows the soil to maintain its natural mineral and other biota, which are extremely important to the long-term health of the entire biosphere. And one of the reasons why we have so many cravings and why we eat so many sweets and so forth is that and nutritionists will tell you that this is because we're minerally depleted. When you go out and buy a tomato at a grocery store that's conventionally grown, it has very little aroma, very little character, flavor.
But it looks good.
Maybe it looks good, but the reality is that it's minerally depleted. And the result of that is that, in fact, instead of the minerals becoming replenished in our bodies as a result of eating agribusiness food, we're not being increased in our mineral characteristics. We're actually losing minerals. We're actually leaching our minerals out. And this has very important relationships to health because the colon and the digestive system and a variety of different very serious diseases that are chronic, that are very much on the upswing, are substantially increased as a result of these factors. And it, you can't help but, people, they've come out with these studies that say organics really don't have any better nutrition than anything else and so forth. But I can't help but wonder who's paying for the science and what that's really all about, because it doesn't add up at all in common sense. And the reality is that people really, you know, this petition has really struck a chord with people. People really understand. People are not stupid. People are incredibly sensitive and intelligent. There are so many people who have been sending emails in. We receive hundreds of emails every day from people who are so gratified that this issue is being addressed squarely. And the reality is that we can address this squarely. The only problem is that we tend to be, you know, I'll sign the petition and I'm all finished kind of people, but that's not how this works. And people say, well, what are you going to do next? And the reality, you know, because they want to say, well, are we going to just deliver, are we going to come up with a semi-trailer full of boxes and we're going to deliver them to the White House? And do we call ourselves successful at that point in time? And the answer is no. We have to stick with this issue. We have to really stay focused on it. We're organizing communication and importantly, interactive participation among all of the people who are signers of the petition. And you will see many.
We're going to take a quick break, but where do people find the petition again?
The petition is at signon.org, and just Google Tell Obama to Cease FDA Ties to Monsanto.
You probably just put Monsanto in there and it will pop up because it
just,
was on the.
If you go to signon.org, the actual URL is signon.org/sign/tell-obama-2-cease-FDA.
Well, so when we get back from this break, I'm going to put that question back to you again. And I want to know just exactly who you think the FDA is going after to make food safe, because to me, it appears that they're trying to get rid of family farmers to make food safe for whom? We will be right back. This is The Food Chain, Michael Olson and Frederick Ravid and you. Well, folks, here's the deal. In 2009, President Barack Obama selected Monsanto executive Michael Taylor to be the nation's first food safety czar. In the waning hours of 2010, Congress passed the Food Safety Modernization Act, which gave the Food and Drug Administration and Michael Taylor total dictatorial powers over the nation's food supply. In 2012, in a few short days in 2012, citizen Frederick Ravid gathered over 218,000 signatures on a petition at signon.org to remove Monsanto's Michael Taylor from office. Wow. And so we ask today, all those signatures, we wonder, should the Monsanto Corporation be in total control, dictatorial control of our nation's food? What do you think? We're at 831-479-1080 today. You can join us, 831-479-1080 with Michael Olson and Frederick Ravid. Frederick, I wanted to go back to that question with respect to just who Food and Drug Administration appears to be going after to make food safe.
Well, I want to try to speak to something about the sovereign nature of the human being and the power of an individual, which is something that,
okay,
you know, if you're trying to run a government and you're trying to control everybody, you tell them they have no power, and you tell them that they can't do anything and that you need that they need you. I mean, that's
yes,
the kind of the basic formula of government. The greatest governments in history, the greatest societies in history have recognized the power and the amazing resources of their citizens and have allowed that to bubble up like a fountain and create enormously beautiful arrays of creativity and culture.
Which is how America was built, right?
That's exactly, well, that's how every great culture has been built, and it's really the essence of what we're trying to accomplish as we address this centralization of focus and power under the influence of Monsanto and other biotechnology companies that are influencing the FDA and essentially controlling it to some extent. So what I'm trying to do is get people to realize that we can address this. We have, you know, government is only afraid of one thing, and that is when people wake up. Because as soon as people wake up, they realize they have the power, that they've actually ceded their power to government, but they can take it back at any moment. That's what we need to do in this situation, and that's what we are in the midst of doing.
And so you're not going to answer my question.
Well, let me hear the question again, please.
It appears to me, I'm a person that watches the news really closely. And when I see what I see in the Food and Drug Administration throughout the United States now is that there seems to be a great prosecution of local agriculture.
Yes.
I see incidents of automatic weapons SWAT teams busting into farmers' houses and holding the farmer and farm family at gunpoint for selling milk to their neighbors. I see a food co-op in Santa Monica with another SWAT team busting in and holding the employees at gunpoint for buying food from each other. I see, you know, the Food and Drug Administration forcing the organic almond growers of California to sterilize their almonds. I see the Food and Drug Administration going after Blue Diamonds for claiming that their almonds are, or their walnuts are heart healthy, when they allow Frito-Lay to say that Lay's potato chips are heart healthy. So it seems like the government in the Food and Drug Administration is holding up these large centralized food manufacturers and saying, you guys are good, and then they're putting their hand on top of the family scale local farmer and saying, you guys can't operate, we're not going to allow you to operate. And that seems to be what I see in the news. And is that really, you know, the root of why you're going after the Monsanto Corporation? Is that...
Well, I don't characterize this as me going after the Monsanto Corporation. I'm going after getting the FDA ties to Monsanto severed.
Right.
And for that matter, getting FDA ties to any biotechnology company severed. The FDA needs to be independent, and it needs to be a regulator that has the ability to hold all of the purveyors of food and food technology accountable for the characteristics of what they're doing. But, you know, you're saying something very important here. You're saying that essentially... somebody's trying to stamp out the ability of people to have commerce in food, and I think that that's a very wrong-headed approach. It's the exact opposite, and one of the things that the petition actually says is that the legacy, experts are very discouraged that regulators and biotech companies are systematically overlooking this potential side effects of genetic modification and related activities like using specific types of pesticides and so forth, which are known to be extremely hazardous to health.
And why are regulators overlooking them?
Well, obviously money is involved, and there's power involved, and some people can be bought.
And some governments can be bought, and there you go. So let me ask you this. Well, you know, when I started talking with you less than a week ago, you had 60,000 people sign up on your petition to sever, for the FDA to sever its relationship with industry. First of all, how would they do that?
Well, obviously, there are several components of this, and I've received some amazing emails from people that discuss legislative approaches that should be taken and so forth. But the bottom line is that if the FDA's charter is reviewed and examined for its ultimate purpose, which is a legitimate proliferation of vibrant and safe approaches to engaging in agriculture and, for that matter, pharmaceuticals, then there needs to be a legislative change. I think that that's probably it's a long shot at the moment. I think what we're trying to do here is address something that's going to take us some years to get this done, but there is a legislative side that will ultimately be a component of this. I think that part of this will be resolved in the courts, but there's a very interesting component that hasn't been discussed so far in our conversation, which is the shareholder governance of the companies that are the extremely profitable.
Okay,
companies.
Before we go there, let me back up to the legislative things. It seems like we as a community always have a tendency that when we see something go wrong in government, what we do is we say, well, we can give the government, we'll pass this law, which will give the government more authority to regulate itself. Mm-hmm. But whenever we give the government more power to regulate itself, what it does, it seems to me, is it goes and sells that authority to somebody, and it always seems to backfire on us. like the Food Safety Modernization Act.
Right. Very well said. And I think that's definitely a symptom of a problem that has to do with our orientation as a culture, and for that matter, our education system is in question because this is what we've gotten ourselves to.
But okay, when we get back, we're going to go to the other side of the equation, which is the people who own these corporations,
okay,
the shareholders of these businesses like Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. I am Michael Olson, your host for the hour. Today, we're talking about the relationship between the Monsanto Corporation and other biotech firms and the people who are responsible for the safety of your food, the Food and Drug Administration, and how President Obama selected a Monsanto executive to be the nation's first food safety czar. Now, you are invited to participate today. Pick up your phones and join us if you have questions or comments. 831-479-1080, 479-1080. Do you think Monsanto should be in charge of our food safety? Right back. We're back. Michael Olson and Frederick Ravid were talking about Monsanto and the Monsanto Corporation and how it is now in charge of our nation's food safety. Fred, we're talking a little bit about now the Monsanto shareholders, the people who actually own Monsanto. Do they bear any responsibility for what's going on in the corporation?
This is a wonderful question, Michael. Essentially what happens in corporations is that they have an annual meeting in which shareholders have the ability to bring shareholder resolutions asking for the corporation to address specific issues. In the January shareholding meeting of Monsanto, there was a shareholder resolution brought that essentially had the language of that major market rejection and sudden business strategy reversals raised doubt that Monsanto is properly evaluating the risks of its genetically engineered products. This resolution was roundly defeated by over 75% of the shareholders, so let's talk about who they are. You can go on Yahoo.com, Yahoo Finance, and look up who the owners are of any major corporation. You will see large institutional shareholders, and they'll list the top 10 of those, and they'll list the largest mutual fund shareholders. And essentially what happens is that these people vote the shares of the company on behalf of the beneficial end investors, which would be you and I in our retirement plans or in our portfolios, wherever we have an institutional investor or a mutual fund voting for us. The change, since 1604, when the Dutch East India Company was created, shareholders voted their own shares. This changed when mutual funds and institutional money managers essentially received the right to vote the shares from shareholders of these funds.
And these institutions are not voting for us then?
Well, essentially what they're doing is they're voting with management. And I've evaluated hundreds of examples of publicly disclosed proxy processes involving the shares of companies that are held by institutions via the SEC's EDGAR database. As a registered investment advisor, it is my role to evaluate these types of things. And I can tell you that in over 90%, I would even say it would not be reaching to say 99% of the time, the institutional money managers vote against corporate resolutions that relate to the environment and vote against the and with management on those issues. And their philosophy is that, hey, you know, management's doing a great job. This company's making money. I mean, if you look at S&P,
and they take me out to lunch and the golf course, too.
Well, I'm not saying that there's any collusion involved, but if you look at the S&P over the last 5 years, it's down 7.15%, whereas Monsanto is up 47% in the same period.
Woo!
So, you know, that's a profitable company. And so, you know, money managers say, well, look, the company's making a profit. We don't want to mess with that.
Yeah.
But the issue is that profit, you know, we're looking for quarterly results. You know, right now it's earnings time and earnings season, and so we're hearing about announcements of all the S&P 500. And we know that the investment community is very focused on earnings, especially for the short term. But that doesn't jive with the whole idea of managing for the next millennium or managing for many, many generations.
Let's go quickly to the phones then and to start with Suzette. Suzette, welcome to the Food Chain. Michael Olson with Frederick Ravid. Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen. I just wanted to bring up that Monsanto is a perfect example. Their executives, men like Michael Taylor, Donald Rumsfeld, worked with Monsanto. these guys have been in the administrations of presidents for decades. This started, I believe, as early as the Nixon administration. And it's been that slow shift overall from freedom to fascism, where these corporations get involved with policymaking that is very favorable to them, mm-hmm. which is why they make the money that the gentleman was just talking about. They are very profitable. They're even involved at the State Department. Many of the executives in big American companies, not always bringing good things to life, are involved in spreading this kind of dangerous policy and dangerous mm-hmm. seed throughout the world. So I just wanted to...
Well, it takes some genius to be, you know, up 47% in the stock market. You know, Suzette, I keep thinking that big business is not the problem. And I also think big government is not the problem. I think the problem is when big business and big government get together. That's the problem.
Well, exactly. We have, you know, you can call it fascism. I mean, it kind of started that way, I think, back in the 80s, where these where the government creates mandates. I mean, that's my understanding of fascism, is when the government makes mandates that are imposed on private business. Mm-hmm.
Do you think Frederick Ravid's petition will help?
You know, I joined the conversation a little late. Turned you on about 10 minutes ago and jumped in when you said that, because I listen occasionally and know.
We created a petition on signon.org, just for your information, that is called Tell Obama to Cease FDA Ties to Monsanto. And this petition went viral this week and has gained over 217,000 signatures. And it is a very big news story. The Washington Post picked it up. People are getting very excited. We've had hundreds and hundreds of emails from people of all walks, including farmers and people that are involved in all kinds of health professions, and folks that are moms staying at home with kids, and professionals, CEOs, VIPs that have gotten involved with this, because people are resonating. This has really struck a chord with people that we need to do something about this. And Michael, what you were saying a moment ago in comment to the caller is that, you know, these big government, big corporation situations only go on when people are not paying attention.
Okay, that was Suzette. We have Maria on the line. Maria, can you hold for a minute?
Yes.
Okay, good. And we will take a quick break, and we will be right back with Frederick Ravid, Michael Olson, and you. We're talking Monsanto. We're talking the federal government. We're talking our food. But above all, we're talking our freedom to go forth into the world and build a civilization. We will be right back. Well, folks, do you think that the Monsanto Corporation and other corporations working hand in hand with the government should have the total dictatorial power to control our food supply? That's where we're at right now. That's Michael Taylor, executive of Monsanto Corporation, is the food safety czar with that dictatorial power. Jan, what do you think?
Hi, Michael and Frederick. Frederick, thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you, Jan.
I'm wondering if us as individuals buy stock in these companies like Monsanto, wouldn't we end up being the shareholders? Could we get enough people and maybe put our stock together?
Oh, good question.
Well, that's an excellent point, and shareholder resolutions can be brought by a single shareholder. In other words, you don't have to have controlling interest in the company. All you have to have is one share to bring a resolution, and that resolution has to be considered. And there are shareholder activists, and this is a principle that's followed by the socially responsible investment community. And if you stay in touch with me, I can explain the procedures involved with this.
And how do we stay in touch with you again?
We have a couple of ways to do it. Email. First of all, you can follow me on Twitter at Frederick Ravid, which is R-A-V-I-D, F-R-E-D-E-R-I-C-K is the spelling of my first name. And you can go to the Facebook group, Tell Obama to Cease FDA Ties from Monsanto. I beg your pardon, the Facebook page, which is an interactive forum for people that are part of this project. You can, of course, sign the petition, Tell Obama to Cease FDA Ties to Monsanto on the on the signon.org, and my email address for this purpose is monoutoffda@gmail.com. That's M-O-N, that's the symbol for Monsanto, outoffda@gmail.com.
Jan?
Yeah, that's wonderful. I just want to say it seems like this government is telling us one thing, painting a pretty picture while it's stabbing us in the back. Destroying the family farmer, that's the basis of our whole.
Yes, but if they can destroy the family farmer, if they can destroy our food independence, then they can totally control us.
Yes, that's
and who's going to complain if we have to go to the government for food?
Right.
Well, I frankly think that that's going to be possible. I frankly think that that's not going to be possible. I see enormous evidence throughout society, and I've seen tyrannies overthrown. We look back over history, and we're one of those historic periods right now where tyranny is in the process of being overthrown. And it's going to happen again here, and this is going to be one of the examples of it. Corporatism does not belong in the regulatory role. It's very interesting that corporations scream and yell and shout saying, We can't do anything because there's so much regulation. The only problem is they're creating regulation that goes against anybody that competes with them. And clearly organics and food decentralization is in competition with agribusiness, and they would like to see it put out of business, but that's not going to happen. We're not going to let that happen.
Don, you got 30 seconds. Fly.
Yeah, what are people going to do if Ralph Nader runs for president? Not and vote for him, right?
I have no comments about Ralph Nader.
Why?
Okay, who knows? But thank you anyway for the call. And I don't know. You know, I don't know who we vote for. We vote for one person. We think they're going to do good. We send them into office, and what do? They select Michael Taylor to be the food safety czar of the United States of America. We give the government more power, and they take that power and they sell it to the corporations, and that's the fix. And hopefully, Frederick Ravid can fix that with this petition. Frederick, thank you so much for joining us here on The Food Chain. Thank you all out there for tuning in. More next week, What's Eating What Radio. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.